You're listening to Tech Talk Radio in your backyard and worldwide on the pod.
I don't think anyone should think this is a license to continue to breach copyright. iiNet is not responsible for stopping it.
There's no real demand for censorship of the internet in Australia. There's no other country in the Western world, at least, that's trying anything like this.
Netflix aren't better at anything, but we think we've got something, and we call it the iPad.
And today, we're delighted to be present at the creation of digital radio in Australia.
Senator Conroy is completely botching the implementation of this filtering policy of his.
For adults who want to be able to watch the other material, we're not proposing to do that.
On air, on the internet, and on the pod, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Hello everybody, I'm Andrew McComb, and welcome to the final edition of Tech Talk Radio for 2010, in which we'll take a look back at the events and gadgets that changed our lives this year. Federal politics has certainly been high on the agenda this year, with the incumbent Labor government returned by doing deals with the independents, predominantly over the proposed national broadband network. Most Australians, even if they don't quite understand the technology behind the NBN, will hopefully be able to thank today's independents for their belief in future-proofing Australia's ageing copper network with fibre optics. Back 150 or so odd years ago, I wonder what the opposition government of the time thought of rolling out copper to every part of Australia. I bet they didn't realise the longevity and broad range of services which are now provided over the forlorn twisted pair. Also, 2010 has seen our global village become even smaller thanks to the world's online connectivity. Never before have we all been so connected, which has only spurred Australia's Communications Minister, Senator Stephen Conroy, on to protect our valuable netizens by trying to roll out the Great Internet Wall of Australia. His efforts have so far been in vain, with objections from civil libertarian groups and freedom of speech groups, with political hurdles and blocks being put up by many members of the Australian Parliament. In the consumer world, the delivery of new and exciting gadgets to make our world just that little bit easier, along with new technology, has been quite relentless in 2010. Probably the coolest and biggest must-have gadget for the year is Apple's iPad. The device, which hit the US stores on April 3 this year, sold over 2 million units in the first 2 months. The device pushed the Apple brand to new heights, but only for a short time, until Cupertino released the iPhone 4. The now infamous death grip, for all its beat-up, was really only an American phenomenon, which really reflected the poor state of the US mobile phone network. Here in Australia, you had to be several floors down in an underground car park at a suburban shopping centre on a substandard network before the death grip dropped your call, as tested by our very own Adam Turner. As for broadband in Australia, mobile broadband speeds became faster and coverage better, especially if you're with Telstra. The NBN was switched on in Tasmania, and ADSL speeds and coverage didn't change very much at all. The only thing that did fall, and in some cases by large amounts, was the price to access broadband. Competition was definitely a winner in 2010, but it all wasn't plain sailing. Telstra bit the bullet and became incredibly competitive, thanks to the probable split of retail and wholesale services. Optus became the king of misleading advertising, and 3 and Vodafone began rolling out the VHA brand. Microsoft launched Phone 7 as well as its latest incarnation of Office and IE9. Facebook the movie hit our cinema screens around the same time the social networking site launched its new mail system. Apple changed the look and feel of its range of iMusic gadgets, Blockbuster Video went belly up in the United States, and Google said goodbye to Wave and its creator, Lars Rumsen, who jumped ship and went to Facebook. It was also the year the digital TV began being switched off in Australia. Not only did the analogue shutdown commence, but sadly, high-definition channels paid the price and were relegated as second-grade citizens, no longer fit to carry their respective broadcasters' primary content. ABC TV turned channel 20 to 24, so we could see the news footage from smartphones in high definition. 7's HD became a mate, and 9's became a gem. In Andy Warhol's terminology, 3D TV had its 15 minutes of fame. iiNet had a win in common sense in its pitched battle with the movie houses, and according to Australia's Prime Minister, the opposition is just a bunch of Luddites. Finally, Collingwood needed 2 goes to win the AFL Grand Final, but technology lost interest in the second bout, only to be seen in standard definition on free-to-air TV. So that was 2010, Now it's time to sit back and relax as we look forward to putting our feet up for the festive season, which is what we're about to do, live from Sophia's Family Restaurant in Burwood Highway, East Burwood.
This week on Tech Talk Radio,
we take a look at the year that was, its highs, its lows, the good and the bad. Adam Turner brings his couch to the people. Lydia Davis joins us live from the United States. We'll mix and mingle with Tech Talk listeners from near and far, and we'll have some last-minute tech suggestions and ideas to get you through this holiday season. First up, though, for the last time this year, here's Dr. Ron with the latest news roundup from the Tech Talk Radio News Desk.
This is Tech Talk News.
This week on Tech Talk News, complaints to the Telecommunications Ombudsman are down 5% this year. The government delays version 2 of MySchool owing to inaccurate financial data. Australian Federal Police play a pivotal role in the detection of child pornography websites. Telstra increases data allowances for free, but is still ranked worst for customer service. And NASA's big announcement. Welcome to Tech Talk News. The Office of the Telecommunications Industry Ombudsman has released its 2010 annual report. The Ombudsman, Mr. Simon Cohen, says that the level of complaints received this year have dropped by about 5%. While this is an encouraging trend for consumers and telcos alike, Mr. Cohen said on ABC Radio last week that there was still clear room for improvement.
This year we've received 167,955 new complaints, a decrease of almost 5% from last year. But while that's an encouraging sign, in anybody's language, 167,955 complaints is simply too many.
Mr. Cohen said that the TIO was receiving about 650 new complaints every day, and that customers contacted him about difficulties with mobile phone contracts, faults, and customer services issues. Mr. Cohen also said about a quarter of all complaints were related to bills and payments. Less complaints had been received this year about premium mobile phone services, such as subscriptions to ringtones or sports alerts and news updates. Mr. Cohen said that complaints about premium services decreased more than 70% this year, in part the result of an improved industry code. He added that it was very positive to see these stronger premium services' consumer protection rules contributing to substantially fewer complaints in the category. The Ombudsman's full report is available at www.tio.com.au. A new version of the federal government's controversial MySchool website has been delayed owing to inaccurate financial data. The new version was meant to go live last week, but the Minister for School Education, Early Childhood and Youth, Mr. Peter Garrett, said the website would not be launched on time and he had no ETA for its release. The new version of MySchool was supposed to include information about school finances for the first time, but Mr. Garrett said last week that he wanted to be absolutely sure that all the data on the MySchool website was thorough and accurate.
Not until I am absolutely confident that all of the material on the site is accurate in every way. This is a really big task, and it's absolutely critical that we get it right.
The opposition's education spokesman, Mr. Christopher Pyne, said on ABC Radio last week that the government had made a complete shambles of the MySchool website.
The financial data that the government was planning on publishing is misleading at best and likely to damage the reputations of the non-government school sector.
Mr. Garrett said that the delay simply highlighted that the data validation processes in place were working as they should. MySchool has received over 4 million hits since it first launched in January and can be viewed at myschool.edu.au. It's been revealed that the Australian Federal Police played a pivotal role in the detection of an international crime group running about 230 child pornography websites. Australian Federal agents posed as online customers and provided technical expertise to the virtual task force. The crime group was operational in 132 countries and sold sexually explicit images of children to around 30,000 people. Federal agent Neil Gorn is the National Manager of High-Tech Crime Operations for the AFP and Chairman of the Task Force. He said the operation owed its success to international cooperation between agencies.
We provided extensive expertise in relation to technical analysis of the websites, and we also did some covert credit cards purchasing of information just to ascertain that these were legitimate, if you like, illegal websites.
The AFP says that children, as well as adults acting on behalf of children, can report online abuse or suspicious behaviour by using the AFP's online child sex exploitation form. Telstra Business Mobile Cap customers have been given up to an additional 1.5 gigabytes of included data at no extra charge. IT Wire reports that as part of Telstra's latest plan changes, existing and new customers on $49, $79, $99 and $159 Business Mobile Cap plans will receive an increased data allowance. The announcement was made just as Telstra again came last in the latest Roy Morgan customer satisfaction survey with mobile service providers. Telstra said that its new plans would keep it in front of the pack with more value and included data. And in a much-hyped press release by NASA, researchers have discovered a bacterium that relies on arsenic instead of phosphorus as one of its six essential components of life. A NASA spokesman explained last week that all living objects on Earth, from tiny microbes to human beings and large animals, are based on a genetic structure that needs phosphorus as one of the six essential elements for the formation. The newly discovered microbe contains five of those vital elements, but appears to have in fact substituted phosphorus with its toxic cousin, arsenic. The discovery was made at Mono Lake in California and highlights one of the central challenges of astrobiology, knowing what conditions to look for an environment to support extraterrestrial life. I'm Dr. Ron, and that's your final tech update for 2010.
Previously on Tech Talk Radio.
I was proud of what our Prime Minister said in the Parliament. She called the opposition a bunch of Luddites.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch that. Yeah.
Can you please retype that
number
again?
Did you say Abu Dhabi?
Over 7,000 zombies can appear on your screen at any one time.
Inga shows up on my screen. Yeah. That's not the IKEA site, Jay. They're looking at the money.
It's not that the technology isn't there and it isn't working. It's bubbling through the system in its own unpredictable way.
Fantastic. All right.
This is why we can't have nice things.
This is why you can't have nice things.
I don't get any spam in my Gmail account.
Don't you?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Oh, okay. Is it a considerable win? You're sort of beating it up that way, Dr. Ron?
That's more mega than even I want to eat.
A lot of indigestion. You spend a lot of time on the throne after that. Jerry Harvey we speak of.
He can go cry in his big bag of money.
What the hell is this? I sit up at night worrying about these things.
Do you? Don't.
Okay. And everyone knows, if anyone knows anything about me, they know how angry I am about losing the HD channel.
As a lot of people in the studio pointed out tonight, I'm technically inept.
14th of Feb? Oh,
thanks, Lena.
Hoping you are the same.
We've made it quiet, now we've got to make it noisy again.
What you're describing is bloatware.
Bloatware, yeah. Now,
did you see what Lena just wrote in the chat there?
Damn it, busted.
I can feel a churn coming on.
But at least you don't have to buy a customised application to run the web.
You're connected to an Exchange server, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Stitcher, stitch up.
Oh, what's happened? That's a question for JD, who's just instantly jumped on his laptop.
Trying.
So can you inadvertently pay for somebody else's stuff?
Adam's got one he doesn't want.
Why would I want an Apple TV without a hard drive?
Because 400,000 people bought an iPad and no one knows what to do with it.
Dr. Ron, listening to the stream.
Furious. Correct. No. Gee, we've started a ruckus in the chat, haven't we?
Yeah.
Settle. Mentioned the word Optus, and I think you're throwing petrol over them.
And Julia.
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 STFU. What does that mean?
Shut that up.
Thank you.
That's what that means.
So be quiet is what it means in...
Hush.
Entertaining, informative and independent.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
The panel on Tech Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Tech Talk Radio for this penultimate Dr. Ron series of 2010. Thank you all very much for coming up to Sophia's Family Restaurant here in Burwood, or East Burwood. If you're listening to us on the radio now and you're driving past, call in and have a bit of a pizza with us. We've got all sorts of food. We've got great people here, all tech-related. We've got great giveaways on the table too. There's literally about 27 kilos of Smarties here. My kids haven't eaten them all yet, so please come and help us eat them. We've got some great giveaways. We've got video games. We've got a MyZone Wi-Fi. If you want a hotspot for the caravan this holiday, there's one of those here we're giving away. Everyone who gets a door prize ticket, or everyone who gets a ticket, can go into the draw for that. There's Microsoft Home Business Office. Well, Microsoft Home and Business Office here, thanks to Microsoft. And Frankly Speaking, which is another podcast, the guys that do it for Microsoft, they gave us that to give away to you guys tonight. There's keychains, there's fobs, there's all sorts of things up there. So if you're driving past, Sophia's Family Restaurant in East Burwood is where we're at. Now, for those of you listening to us on the radio and around the world on the stream, I'm sitting in front of maybe 100-odd people here this evening, maybe a bit more. Thank you all so much for coming up this evening. Hopefully we'll hear a little bit more from them. There they are. You can hear them. And supporting us for our very first outside broadcast. Now, there's no Ustream tonight, so you can't watch us. So I'm going to try and convey it all into some sort of words that draw pictures. So Starting on the left-hand side of our stage here tonight is Graham Callaghan, who's pushing all the buttons. Graham does all of our podcast stuff for us. Fantastic work, and hopefully he'll be doing all the right things tonight. Justin Dunlop is here. He's our Mac expert. So if you've got any Mac questions, now's the time to come and ask him. Adam Turner, who is a regular writer for us, gives us a view from the couch each and every week. He didn't bring the couch. We gave him a table instead and a chair. So he's here this evening. Once again, if you've got questions for Adam, any of his great blogs, you can read about him in Sydney Morning Herald, The Age, a lot of the tech publications that are online. And on the right-hand side of the centre of the screen, here's Lena Van Deventer. She's got a Mac too with a very funny... For those of you who wonder what I looked at on the back of her laptop, now you can see it there. There's a funny little caricature.
Yoshi.
And then on the very right-hand end of the panel, we have the one and only Dr. Ron, who does the news for us each and every week, keeps us all up to date and sort of keeps us all in line. Now, here's the chance for technology to work. Joining us live from the United States in California, hopefully, as we go to air, is Lydia Davis. Lydia, come in all the way from Palo Alto. That's working well. Well, that's good. We'll come back to Lydia, but Lydia will be joining us later on this evening as well, so hopefully she'll be there.
She was going to pop some no-dos, I think, because it's about 2 a.m. over there.
It is 1 o'clock in the morning over there.
1 o'clock.
They've had 5 hours and take off a day in California, so hopefully she might pop back later. She's probably got nervous and popped out. Are you there, Lydia?
No, I'm just drinking coffee and pretending to be here.
You're drinking? Can you not do that again? We had heart. You should have seen Graham. The look on his face.
Graham spent the last 7 hours of his life trying to set up that link to you, Lyd, and then you go and get a cup of coffee instead.
What can you do?
Well, I know.
You've got to stay awake, you know.
I've drunk that coffee in the United States, and you can have it. We've got much better coffee here. But that's not... How's things in California? What, it's 1 o'clock in the morning over there this morning. You haven't quite caught up with us yet. We're at the end of the day. You're at the beginning.
Yes, that's true. It's, what, 1:20? Monday morning.
And have you got any gossip from Silicon Valley? What's happening in downtown Palo Alto at the moment? You've seen Steve Jobs? You're living closer to him these days.
No, I was thinking we should have hit his house for Halloween. You could imagine there'd be some goodies there, right? Lots of people went to Mark Zuckerberg's house and got these massive, humongous chocolates. I think we should have done that too. We've got all their addresses. I should write a little list and take a bus around, I reckon, next year.
Absolutely. And what about Mr. Zuckerberg? How's things in Facebook land at the moment, down at down the university end of your part of the world?
I don't know. I'd say it's pretty much the same as you're thinking there. You know, Facebook's seeing phenomenal growth.
You're still not on
Google's
Facebook
dying.
Yet, are you?
God, no.
No.
Google's dying.
No. All right, well, thank you very much for staying up late with us. We'll come back very shortly. We'll leave the fader up. Hopefully the gods are with us this evening in technology. Dr. Ron, let's do the first thing that we normally do on Tech Talk Radio.
What is it that we normally do? What is the first thing we normally do?
That is correspondence that needs to be tabled. I'm going to come and join on the thingy board.
Yeah, please do. Come and have a seat. Feedback at techtalkradio.com.au is the address. You know where to send all of your feedback, or you can go to the forum, forum.techtalkradio.com.au. For this week, for the last... As Andrew said, the ultimate, or as somebody tweeted at me during the week, is this the post-penultimate? I thought, oh, no, it's just getting ridiculous now. Show of 2010, we have from TD, via the TTR contact form, TD says, hi guys, all the best for the OB tonight. Thanks, TD. I can't make it, so I shall be there in spirit. Thanks for another great year of TTR. I'm looking forward to the summer series and then TTR 2011. Who said we're doing it in 2011? Did you say that before?
No, I said, if you're lucky, we
yeah.
might.
Vicious rumour.
Very vicious rumour. I have to think about that one. TD, occasional contributor to the forum and devoted podcast listener, he says. Thanks very much, TD. Warpie on the TTR forum.
Who?
Warpie.
That's a good name.
Warpie. Do you like that one?
Did you notice there's not that many people in the forum tonight? I think they're all here.
In the chat.
The chat's
very quite. Clay's there. You can join us in the chat, of course, if you're listening. Chat.techtalkradio.com.au if you're listening
there's
live.
11 people in there, and I think 5 of them are us.
There we are. That is a good...
Hello, Mark in Geelong.
A good summation of the situation layout. Warpie says...
Brad's there.
Yeah, Brad's there.
Lena, you're there too.
Lena's there.
Oh, good.
JD's in tonight. He's logged in.
Martin's there. Martin's in the other room next to Lydia in California.
GD's logged in. The mod's logged in. But GD's with us here tonight, so he's tricking. He's being a trick. There
he is.
Back.
There he is.
Yes.
Yay.
Yeah, congratulations.
Well,
good work, GD. Warpie says, how are you finding the HTC Desire? I know Andrew has one, and I saw a tweet from Dr. Ron that he was helping someone set one up. I've been reading up prior to purchasing one, and a couple of forum posts I've seen are about the phone rebooting itself randomly due to an overheating issue. Some posts going back to May 2010 from Warpi. Had any problems
haven't
with
noticed
your HTC rebooting?
Graham's busting. Look, no. He wants to show everyone his new phone. Go
show on. Everyone your new phone. Graham's had this little candy bar Nokia phone for the last 150 years.
Yep.
And just in the last week,
hang on, I can't figure out how to unlock it. Hang on.
Yeah.
Isn't that always the way, these techie types?
It's spontaneously rebooting.
There it is, another HTC Desire owner.
Yep.
Adam had that problem one night. He picked up Andrew's phone and was putting his own passcode into it. It wouldn't unlock.
Couldn't understand why.
No.
Yeah, I heard that in a promo the other night, actually. That's good.
Graham, any problems with your HTC Desire rebooting spontaneously?
Not so far. I've only had it a short time, of course, and... yeah, no, I haven't seen it reboot or do anything strange. I had an application that I installed on it that kept crashing, so that application didn't last very long and got uninstalled.
What was the application?
It was an application to show the cricket scores.
Hmm.
So,
why would you want to see that?
Yeah. Boring.
He's speechless.
We're ganging up on
him
now.
That.
Sorry, Graham.
I wanted to know the cricket
scores. What you do with your phone is
I don't want to know the cricket scores anymore, of course, now that I know them.
Maybe that's why it kept crashing.
Yes.
Yes. All right, Warpi... keep an eye on that forum thread, and if anyone's had any similar experiences, I'm sure they'll let us know. US correspondent and former Tech Talk Radio panellist Mark Diggins.
Yeah, he should be here, Mark.
Says via email.
Yeah, where's Mark?
Where is Mark? Mark,
he's tweet-pitting from Vegas, I think, last time I saw.
Oh, wow.
Last seen in Vegas.
Yeah, here is a good... Vegas stays in Vegas.
Mm.
Yes, that's right.
Here... really? Is that right?
As you were. Keep going.
Okay. We'll catch up after the program. Here is a good summary of how stupidly the term 4G... gets used over here.
Now, 4G is the new generation of mobile broadband. We've all got threes at the moment. This is the next one, four.
Mark's pointed us to an article in the Dallas News which says, there is no 4G. Much like the secret to bending spoons in the Matrix, the next generation of wireless networks is very cool, but it's built on a bit of misdirection. In fact, the international standards body that determines network definitions recently ruled that true 4G requires minimum download speeds of 100 megabits per second. I'd be pretty happy with 100 megabits per second to my Android phone.
I'd be happy with that to home.
I'd be wrapped with it to home.
Yeah,
I can tell you.
Wireless.
The article goes on to say no wireless company in the world is close to offering that sort of performance, but that hasn't stopped carriers from branding their next gen networks as 4G. Look, we'll put that link in the show notes.
I wonder whatever happened to Sultra here.
Who cares?
We're known with his big bag of money.
His big bag of money. We've got a special guest.
He's running 4G
later,
in the States apparently. But anyway.
We'll put that link in the show notes. There's an interesting article that Mark sent us. Ben May via Twitter says...
Hello, Ben.
Long-time TikTok contributor, Ben, from Harvey Bay in Queensland. Good luck for the OB tonight. Thanks, Ben. Would have liked to have come down, but timing didn't work for me. We've got some people...
What's wrong with you, Ben? We've got people come from further than that.
Far and wide.
Even
yes.
Lydia's here in spirit.
Lydia's here in spirit. We've got Trent down the back here. He's come from Albury.
Yay.
He's driven down and...
Dr. Ron, take your microphone down.
I should. I should.
We've got one of these wireless microphone thingies. Don't forget to unplug your headphones or you'll do yourself a mischief.
There you are.
Here he goes. Now, for those of you... Oh, headphones? Oh, goodness me.
Hang on, we're getting a bit complicated now.
This is the thing. Oh, hang on.
Talk amongst yourselves.
So what Dr. Ron is doing at the moment is he's plugging in all the manner of contraption and he's going to head down. But we did. We had two Tech Talk Radio listeners. Off you go.
This is very high tech for Tech Talk Radio, isn't it?
Oh,
we don't usually go walking around the studio when we're live to air.
Ron, where did you go? I can't see you, mate.
Now, first
where
of all, just
he's going down the other end of the restaurant.
I'm standing behind the lights here.
Studio.
I can...
Come back, we're on air.
All is forgiven. Come back.
I'm on a
plane.
Who's
down there?
I'm talking now. I'm talking to Trent, who's driven all the way from
Albury.
Albury. Congratulations, Trent. Thank you for making the trek.
Big round of applause.
No problem. I thought it'd be good to see you guys live, and it's a great atmosphere with all the listeners that have come along. So.
Yes.
You've done a good job. How long have you been listening to Tech Talk Radio? Is this your first night? Someone just sent you some spam, and you thought, that looks like a bit of fun, a bit of pizza night.
No, about 8 months. I heard the program when I was shuffling around looking for stuff for a local community radio station, which I'm involved in, and I thought this program is pretty good. So we've got it on the air, and we broadcast it every Tuesday night. So
good work, Trent. Yay. So you actually work in an environment where you are rebroadcasting Tech Talk Radio on your community station.
Yes, indeed.
Should be more of it.
I'm the technical man at our station. I'm also in commercial radio as well for my day job. It's a part-time thing, but it's very good. Quite
fantastic. Excellent work, Trent. Thank you very much. Can I ask you, are you an Apple or a PC?
PC man.
Ooh. Good to hear. Pleased to hear it.
Are we going to be brave enough to do a show of hands in the audience?
We might have been late. I've also got somebody who's travelled just slightly ever so further than Trent, and that is Jason Oakley, a.k.a. Warlock. Good evening,
yay.
Warlock.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing very well. Now, Jason, or Warlock, has actually been a guest presenter on Tech Talk Radio a number of times during the year. And you've come all the way from?
Sydney.
It's a long walk.
It is. Yep. I brought that bus that Andrew was talking about. So if anyone wants to trip back to Sydney, the bus is out the back. We'll drive you up there.
Okay, I'll be leaving about 10 past 10. Is that right, tonight, after the program?
If I am still able to drive it, then by then.
It's got Rolls-Royce engines on it, if you're careful.
Very good. Rolls-Royce engines, is that right? Warlock, thank you for making the trek, and thanks for all your contributions during the year.
No worries.
All right, there we go. So that's that little bit of...
Thank you guys for coming all this way. Very good of you.
I think we also have one last item of correspondence, Andrew, but I'm going to switch back to a different microphone just to confuse Graham completely.
Yeah, you've got
to
keep him on his toes down there. He's got this biggest mixer we've ever seen.
Doesn't have enough cables, I reckon. I reckon we need more cables.
More cables?
Yeah.
You can't have enough cables. Now, Carl, via the TikTok radio contact form, says, "Hi, guys, and wishing you a great ultimate show at Sophia's." We have a consensus there with ultimate.
It must be ultimate.
It is ultimate. Just a thought on the new Apple TV.
Yes.
I'm ready. Bring it on. Bring it on, says Adam. Many reviewers, I'll read what's in front of me. Many reviews, including Adam Turner's, were critical of the new Apple TV's lack of a hard drive to store downloaded content.
Guilty.
I have one of the new Apple TVs, and now that Apple has updated its firmware, along with the new version of iTunes, I can stream anything, video, audio, photos, from any Apple device, including my iMac hard drive, to my TV, via the Apple TV using AirTunes. This therefore includes anything bought from the iTunes store and stored on my Mac, and so negates the need for a hard drive in the Apple TV itself, Adam, leaving me with a tiny little black box next to the TV. Perfect. Regards, Carl in Melbourne.
Yeah, but it means he needs to have something else running in order to listen to that music and watch that video. It's got to be coming from a computer or something. The way it was before, you could have everything in the house switched off, no computers running. End of the day, sit down, you've just got your little Apple TV box and your television, and you can watch television or listen to music, whatever you want, with no other computers required. Now, they made it more complicated by adding a computer to the mix, but they try to tell you that it's easier than it was before, but it's not.
You were very critical of the new Apple TV when it came out, not having a hard drive.
Yeah, I don't see... What really annoys me is why they couldn't keep the old one and give it the new firmware update. Because the new one's got features that the old one doesn't have. But there's no reason why they couldn't update the old one as well. They're just trying to force me to buy the new one. And the reason why is because they don't want to put a hard drive in it, because they don't want you to buy stuff. They want you to rent stuff. They want you, because if you buy a movie, you only pay for it once. They want you to rent a movie every time you want to watch something. And their other devices are starting to go the same way. There's talk of them bringing out MacBooks, more MacBooks with no optical drives and stuff like that. Every Apple product has one job, and that's to drive you to the iTunes store.
And it works well, doesn't it?
It works very well.
But if you're okay with that, nothing wrong with
it. If you're okay with it, but why strip out features and tell me it's an improvement?
Well,
the reality distortion field was cranked to maximum on that day.
Yeah.
Although it did keep the price down, but also...
It did keep the price down.
By moving people to online content, in the long term, I'd be happy to pay a subscription to download whatever I wanted it.
Yeah, but Apple won't do that.
But this is the model that they're trying to do with music, isn't it? You pay a monthly or an annual subscription.
Yeah, but we're waiting for Apple to do it, and they haven't done it. And the other mobs to do it, most of the good ones aren't available here, like Rhapsody and stuff like that. Rhapsody is awesome. But you need to run a VPN if you want to use it here.
Are we going to see the same sort of thing in movies very shortly, where you'd be able to download movies, do you reckon? Or is that sort of too far off yet?
Maybe. Once you get like MBN speeds and capacity and stuff like that, and it's more practical, maybe. But I don't know if that many people have got enough access to get those kind of business models.
It would be really good, wouldn't it?
That'd be awesome.
Pay one for you, and I'm going to watch this tonight.
They don't build stuff just for me, unfortunately, or just for a handful of people. They've got to wait until it gets mainstream. And the infrastructure is there to support it, and we're still getting there with that.
That's the end of the correspondence, Andrew. Feedback at techtalkradio.com.au is the address, or you can look at their show notes on the forum.
You can.
Forum.techtalkradio.com.au.
Jeff Gates has just joined us from the chat. Now, Jeff is also a long-time listener. He's in the United States as well. Heard a report that said 8 p.m. in the US, Netflix uses more than one-third of the internet's bandwidth nightly. That's not bad. That's what we can look forward to in this country, isn't it? Yeah. All right. Dr. Ron, that was it, was it? That's the correspondence.
That's the last.
Quick.
Around the world, you're listening to Australia's premier tech talk show, Tech Talk Radio.
That's all the correspondence for 2010.
That's it. So, yes, and across the course of our break,
You can send us more correspondence via the website, the chat, the forum, whatever. You keep sending it through and we'll tweet it up and do all those sort of things. Because traditionally, Conroy does something after we go off air. He did last year.
5 o'clock Charlie.
Yeah, 5 o'clock Charlie.
He's at a press release. 5 o'clock on a Friday through, yeah. And puts out a press release. Mm. Or on a Monday, which is even worse because all the tech media, most of the print stuff comes out on a Tuesday. So you wait till Monday night and it's going to be a week before it can be in the paper. And then it's old news.
Yes, old news. Yep. Exactly right. Yeah, no, I haven't checked my mail today because I've been here setting up this. I don't know what he's coming out with today, but anyway. If you've got an iPhone, you've got an iPhone. Is your screen intact?
No, it's not intact.
Everybody
Andrew.
I know. Did you know? I came across a friend. What were we talking about last week?
Mm.
Windscreen O'Brien's looking at getting into a business of fixing cracked iPhone things.
Yeah, there's a big crack in my iPhone.
Yeah. Is that a fall?
Yes.
There's probably some place that'll fix it for you on the cheap, but it won't be an official fix.
No. Well, the problem with getting the 4 fix as opposed to the 3G or the 3GS is the LCD screen's fused to the glass on the iPhone 4.
They're fused, not glued. Fused.
Yeah. Fused.
Yeah.
Or glued, or
so you've got to replace the whole chassis if you broke it.
So you have to replace the whole LCD, not just the front glass.
Oh, there's got to be some good opportunity for
it. But that's obviously an improvement. The reality distortion field is on now. That's made it a better product.
Wah, 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 wah. That's what I reckon.
You seem to have some supporters in the audience, Lena.
Written and spoken by Lena for the wah, wah party.
They like an underdog. yes. No, it'll all work out well in the end. You
That's
watch.
Good. Well, potentially you're with Optus.
Vodafone.
Potentially.
Vodafone.
All Optus customers are potentially with Optus.
Yeah, they are, but she's not in this instance. Apparently Optus are actually now unlocking the iPhone over the network, so you can freely go to another network if you choose to, I'm guessing. But they've begun the process of automatically unlocking customers' iPhones over the mobile network to allow the devices to be used overseas, allegedly. So if you're travelling overseas, you can do it. I would have thought you'd be able to take an Optus iPhone and travel. I took a Telstra one. Well, actually, I took an iPhone with a Telstra SIM in and it went to America and it worked really well over there, better than the locals one.
With a Telstra SIM in it?
With a Telstra SIM.
Now, did you get stung like $1 million in roaming fees or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. That was money well spent,
but fortunately,
it?
I was on a prepaid, so it just stopped after a while. So, roam on a prepaid.
I've got a friend who spends a lot of time between here and the US and Hong Kong, and he's got an iPhone 3GS, I think, and he got it unlocked, and he's got his collection of SIM cards, and if you want to text him, you've got to know which country he's in so you know which number to text. And I found out the other day, texting him in the US cost me a dollar.
Even cost just you a dollar.
It cost you
me
a dollar.
Yeah, because my phone bill turned up.
Because you texted internationally.
I texted. I didn't know an international text was at roaming rates, but I sent him a text. It cost me a dollar, so I won't be doing that again.
Gee, the telcos make it really good money on texting. It's the smallest bit of information used on their network and the biggest ping.
It's like what I said about the banks the other week. It's a little bit here and a little bit there, and people go, it's not worth complaining about, and next thing you know, they made a $1 billion profit.
Yes, they do. At least Telstra is actually becoming coming to the party a little bit more. They're becoming very competitive. They've given good Christmas presents away and making a lot of sense for people to even contemplate moving across back to them at the moment.
It's getting harder and harder to justify being with anybody but Telstra.
It is.
I mean, you guys have had a lot of problems with 3.
Yeah.
When you joined 3, Telstra was probably so ridiculously expensive that you thought, I'm saving a lot of money, I'll go with 3. But if you're only saving $5 or $10
If you're texting people overseas, you can save $5 or $10 an hour, you're doing all right.
If the difference between being on 3 and being on Telstra now is, we'll say $10 a month, maybe that's $10 well spent.
Well, I must admit, I'm looking at plans at the moment where what I spend on 3, I actually get more and better on Telstra.
That's a no-brainer.
We're all churning
Next
on.
G, technically, Next G is without question the best network.
We thought we'd wait till after the broadcast tonight so that we could churn our phones would stay connected until after.
They also have appalling customer service, and they couldn't get a single billing system right if their life depended on it. But once they finally get it all sorted out, the network performance is great. Just be prepared to spend a lot of time on the phone.
I did actually get a ransom note from Telstra the other day. I owed them 75 cents. They were going to cut my phone off.
Send the boys around.
And the 75 cents was the credit card surcharge from the previous bill that I paid.
Yeah.
Not bad, huh? And they threatened to cut off my phone. Yeah. Oh, that'd be good.
Now, anyway, you can't pay your Telstra bill at a Telstra shop, is that right?
Never tried. Really?
I don't think you can.
We'll find out on the weekend.
I don't think you can.
I think you can at the post office.
No, sorry, sir. It's not that kind of operation. Go away.
That's right.
That's good, isn't it? All right, back to Optus just briefly, but handsets, we're talking about unlocking your 3G handsets or your iPhone-y things over the network. Optus has begun the process of automatically unlocking its customers if you're going to travel overseas. Handsets prior to the iPhone 4 were locked to the carrier's SIM card, preventing use of the device on other networks. Now, I noticed that in the United States. If I put an AT&T SIM or something like that in, it knew. It was either locked to the device number in the actual phone
itself.
I
don't think it's actually locked to the specific SIM card. I think it's just locked to the network.
Yeah, well, so over in the States, it was locked to the phone. You couldn't swap your SIM cards around in devices when we were there.
Not even from the same telco?
No.
Oh,
no, okay. It was very, very interesting. So there you go, if you're an Optus iPhone customer and you're travelling, keep that in mind. Now, Lena, something else happened during the course of the week because you're the video game expert.
No, I couldn't resist. I'm not an expert. No, no, no.
No, you are. You're an expert because you're sitting here at the panel.
No pressure.
No pressure. Not an expert.
The Labor government, which has sort of decided to back adults-only game classifications.
Yes.
Now, I thought maybe they were listening to you the other night. Why
Hopefully.
Don't we have a classification to differentiate the M classification and the R classification? Because at the moment, for mums and dads and parents, and you want to go buy video games, if you buy an M game for a teenager, you could be buying something a lot more explicit, a lot more violent.
Not
a lot
age
more
appropriate.
It really should be rated R, except for
the
fact we don't have an R rating, so it snuck in for an R.
It did, And or it was mildly edited to fall into the MA category, and it still shouldn't be there because of the themes, not the actual things it's dealing with.
A recent Galaxy survey found strong support for the R18 plus classification, with 80% of respondents saying that they believed an adult classification was needed. And I think everyone in this room would agree that an adult classification is needed for video games. Mm. We've got them for films. Why not video games? So while the government public consultation on the matter continues, close to 60,000 responses, with 98% in favour of an adult rating.
Now, Minister,
why haven't they done it before that?
The Minister, because we couldn't get rid of Michael Atkinson in the South Australian Attorney General. He had the veto over it, and it didn't matter what you did. He just went, nah.
Well,
now they got rid of him, there's why it might get up.
Yeah, it's
one
it's
man held
a
the whole country
chance
to ransom.
It's unanimous consent is required from all attorneys general. And
so just one of them's going to go, nah.
It just takes one person to say no. So it's not in the bag yet. It's got government support, which helps, but it all it takes is one attorney general to say no.
And all it takes is for the right lobby groups to get to that one attorney general.
And the Australian Christian lobby are really, really against the R18
rating.
And
really powerful and influential.
Why? Why are the Christians against it?
Because they misunderstand what it means. They think that having an R rating for games is going to encourage kids to play adult games. I think they've got the horse and the cart backwards. Their heart's in the right place. Mm. They just don't understand that they think that they're actually protecting children from R-rated games by not having an R rating. But all they're doing by not having an R rating is ensure that the same games get passed as MA, which means more children are exposed to them.
Their
heart's in the right place, but they've just got it backwards.
Stephen Conroy, who's the Minister for Broadband, Communications, Digital Economy and Facebook, he said that he's going to review the classification system.
What
that stands for. That's the Department of ABCDEF.
We should get him on the
still
show.
Still trying to think of a G and Gmail. Facebook and Gmail.
Yeah.
He said that he's reviewing the classification system at the moment, and that's one of the reasons why he has put the net filter on hold, pending an overhaul or a review of the classification system. Is this going to extend to games? Like
nah,
it should. We should have parity between.
Don't believe anything they tell you about putting the net filter on hold. That was just they were looking for an excuse
not
to put the
have
net
it
filter
in an election.
Yeah. Let's get it. Let's sweep it under the carpet. Make up anything we can to sweep this thing under the carpet and make it a non-issue for 12 months.
It's gone very quiet. We haven't heard much news about the net filter.
Yeah, wait till the next grand final.
That's
next
what they
Friday
wanted.
Afternoon. You'll get
that's
a press
release. That's what they wanted. They wanted it to go quiet. Mm. Just because it goes quiet doesn't mean it's dead. But the thing is that now that I think the Greens have got control of the Senate, because some of the Family First mob got kicked out and the Greens got in. The Greens have always been anti-filter and the Family First mob have always been pro-filter. So now that the Greens have control of the Senate, I don't think Conroy could get it through even if he wanted to.
But I think, to answer your question before, I think the Christian lobby think that because a game won't get an R rating, then it will be refused classification. So it will be banned completely in the country, and I think that's where they're getting confused, because it won't be. It'll just come through on an MA rating.
Younger children
will actually get to access it, which is what they're not understanding.
Well, they can get it overseas anyway, can't they?
Yeah,
but
if they had an R rating, those games would be locked behind glass.
Yeah, they would.
And at the moment, they're in front of EB Games and all those game shops in the supermarkets and stuff. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so it's a case of just them saying, games are evil, let's get rid of them all.
Yeah, their heart's in the right place, they just don't understand.
Well, 98% of 6,000 people, or was it 60,000 people surveyed the other day, said it was 60,000, said it was a good idea, we should have it, and I think common sense ought prevail.
Hopefully it will.
Now, have you ever thought about hacking anything, especially in particular government servers in Australia?
No.
If you ever want to go...
I hacked my iPhone.
Yeah, let's just admit that on live radio.
I thought
I can hear the Blackhawks closing in now.
I did one before I came. What about you?
No, I haven't done any of recent times. I have been known to sprite code and things, but not. Anyway, if you're inclined that way and you want to go looking in government servers and trying to sneak in the back way,
don't.
Like people did. Remember when the Office of Film Literature Classification got hacked and they had this lovely little thing put up there by some hacker online. Do you remember that?
A few of those have happened.
Yeah, anyway, the government's now looking to legislate 10 years in prison if you do that sort of stuff. So they're pretty scared, I'd say, about hacking. And what with WikiLeaks and all that sort of stuff, there's people who've got a lot of content now, I suspect, they might want to put up on the odd government website if they could actually get in behind the firewall to do it. So hackers involved in launching distributed denial of service attacks too on parliamentary websites could also face penalties of 10 years. So if you got your zombies out there, now I know you like your zombies, Lena.
I do.
Yeah, if you've got a zombie computer and someone
different
turns it on.
Different kind of zombie.
Not the boring one. Yeah, boring
different kind zombies. Of zombie.
Oh, there's Graham down there. Hello, Graham.
Hello, yes.
We're live at Sophia's here in Burwood this evening, and it's a bit of a different layout this evening. So Graham's way down the end. Normally he's sitting across in front of us, but yeah, he's pushing all the buttons.
And I'm not talking quite as much because I've got a lot of buttons to push.
But yeah, I'll have a larger wine. And garlic bread and a crowning. Thanks, Graham.
Yeah. Bloke down the back here will deal with that for you.
Thanks, mate.
So if you're passing, it must be that time to go and have a drink, but if you're passing Sophia's here in Burwood and you're listening to us on 94.13 WBC, call, pass and come and say g'day. We've got all sorts of fun things here. There's more chocolate on the table. The kids haven't eaten those
prizes
yet over there. Yeah. And there's great prizes, all that sort of stuff.
Tell them Andrew sent you.
Yeah, absolutely. Come in, turn right and we're down here. If you're listening to us on the pod or on another station and you're not listening to us live, stiff. That's all we can say.
Aww.
No, I think, Graham, you're going to...
And there goes next year's show. It was fun while it lasted.
We do like you guys too, but yeah.
We are saving a prize, aren't we? A long-distance prize.
I think
prize.
We are, aren't we?
Yeah. I think we should.
We'll talk about that during the break. Speaking of breaks, Graham...
Speaking of breaks...
I'm going to push a button and we'll go have a drink.
Go. You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show, Tech Talk Radio.
If you've seen some of the stuff on YouTube, it looks a bit strange.
Whilst it is a high-def machine, it's only 720p.
Fraud-def.
Yeah, exactly. Take note, Apple, HDMI output cable and carrying case.
Why would I want an Apple TV without a hard drive?
What you're describing is bloatware. The handset formerly known as the iPhone.
Entertaining.
I don't like spam.
Informative.
There are public VPN services.
Independent.
They run up to, what, 400, 500?
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show.
Tech Talk Radio.
Ah, that you are. Lydia, you still there? You had a few too many Red Bulls yet? Nah, she's done. I just thought on the odd chance she might be there. Oh, no, she's typing.
I just mute my microphone when I'm not chatting.
Oh, very good. So what time is it? 1:30 in the morning in California? You're still awake. I'm impressed. This is very good.
It's 10 to 2 and I'm falling asleep, but I'm getting coffee by the bucket load, so I'm lucky.
Excellent. Well,
and I'm enjoying listening to you. I'm feeling very homesick.
Are you? Yeah, well, you did used to live here in Melbourne and you decided to jump on that big plane and you've been living in California for how long now? About five years.
I know. It's like 2 years plus. Oh, we'll just do another 2 years. Oh, we'll just do another. I mean, we're going to be here forever, I reckon. Just going the way we're going.
Oh, well, you got to admit, though.
Just another couple.
You are in the best part of the country, I think, from my visits to that neck of the world. I think lots of tech things to play with, too. How's the shopping there at the moment with all the gadgets for the festive season? You got any good bargains at the moment?
So we just had Black Friday and Cyber Monday.
See, we don't have that here. What is that? What
we're
that
starting
mean?
To get it, though. We're starting to get stuff like that.
What is Black Friday and what is Cyber Monday?
So Black Friday is typically the
normally it's a bushfire
Friday
for us.
After Thanksgiving. And
it's like the Boxing Day sales.
Ah, it's Boxing Day sales. Okay. Well,
yeah, kind of, I suppose it is like that. And all the retailers get out and make things quite cheap, apparently. But Cyber Monday is when it's done online. But I just didn't find anything too exciting. You can get deals, but you've got to line up at 3 o'clock in the morning to get one of 10 somethings that they're promoting at a fairly.
Yeah, yeah.
Cheapish price.
It's just to get you into the shop.
I just don't see the effort.
Yeah, we had an interesting.
It's not worth the effort.
We had an interesting thing last week. We spoke about on the radio about Harvey Norman and a few of the cohorts that have been very much shop faced type retailers, and they've been complaining a lot about the fact that they can't sell or they can't compete with online sales at the moment. Not with the Aussie dollar, but also the fact that people can buy overseas GST free. So what they've done is they've actually set up their own shops in China now to compete. Did you hear about that? Harvey Norman's got his own online shop.
Wow.
And Maya's doing the same thing as well.
Yeah.
So, that's to try and compete with the other retailers here that are buying stuff offshore. So maybe we'll see a bit more competition here in the workspace.
What was the comment that Lena made a couple of weeks ago? Jerry Harvey needs to go away and cry into his big bucket of money.
Go cry in your big bag of money, I believe.
But you know, you're laid in there with jelly babies and jelly beans. She's clutching them. She's going to go and get them out. I think
we're ready to go. We're champing at the bit. We've got to give away stuff.
Go out there. There's people
give away
here. Go and
stuff. I can't. Now we can't just give
behind you. Quick. Behind yellow t-shirt. Hand them. That's it.
That was easy. We do have some. We have some questions though. We've got a doctor on.
Okay, off you go, doctor on.
2010 OB quiz. So I have some quiz questions. So I'll come around and I'll ask people some technical questions. Very different. Now, Paul's looking at me blankly.
Go to the back and get the people that hide up in the back corners.
Yeah, I'll get to the back people. Don't worry about that. Paul, enjoying the evening?
Also,
having a fantastic time.
Do you think you could give us some twit picks?
Oh, yeah, okay, we'll work on that. Sorry, Dr. Ron's too busy at
people
the moment.
People need to twit pick the event.
Yes.
Now, with the quiz questions tonight, we're going to start with the jelly beans and the small gifts, and then we'll work our way up to the really, really good ones. Of course, producers have taken all care, assume no responsibility. Judge's decision is final. You happy with that? You agree to those terms and conditions? No correspondence will be entered into. Okay. So here's our warm-up round. Who is the current Minister for Broadband, Communications and the Digital Economy, Paul? Is it John Howard, Peter Costello, Rob Oakeshott, or Stephen Conroy? we have a low
Adam. Thank you very much.
Yeah, let's vote for Adam Turner. Yeah, yeah.
Bless you, my son.
I'll take the or D option, thanks.
Stephen Conroy. He's done extremely well. Well done, Paul.
And the Magabear of Sparty.
Very good.
Dr. Ron, find out how far these people have travelled. I know just from
the next three. I know these people have travelled about 2 kilometres, I think.
Yeah.
Angela, you've never liked the microphone pushed in front of your face, have you?
No, and I don't like your questions.
You won't like any of these, actually. Let me find something that you've got half a chance of answering. Oh, here we go. You'll be right. On the, Angela, on the 1st of July 1979, this is for a bag of jelly beans, so switch on.
You reckon we're tight?
Sony released what for the first time in Japan? Did they release the Hopman, the Skipman, the Jumpman, or the Walkman?
Oh, it's a tricky one.
What about all of the above?
The Walkman.
The Walkman. She's done extremely well. Yay. Congratulations, Ange.
Very well done.
Who else are we going to pick on down the end here? Is Chuck up for a quick question? I might get a goo gaga from Chuck.
Chuck being a what? A
silence. How old's Chuck?
How old's Chuck?
Chuck is the six-month-old baby.
Is he Chuck by name, Chuck by nature?
Chuck by name, Chuck by nature?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay, good.
Very good, very good.
Stand back, Lena.
We'll pick on Cherie here. How are you tonight, Cherie?
I thought you'd walked past me and I was happy, but now I'm not.
Absolutely no chance. Cherie, for a bag of jelly beans on the 7th of March 2005 and again on the 9th of May 2005, Tech Talk Radio's special guest from Telstra Mobile Net was... A, Sol Trujillo. B, Phil Burgess. C, Helen Coonan. That's Andrew's friend, Minister for Sitting on the Fence, as she was affectionately known.
A former Minister for Sitting on the
Fence. Former Minister for Sitting on the Fence. Or D, later panellist and now US correspondent, Mark Diggins.
Oh, it's got to be D.
Mark Diggins. Yeah, it is. Yes, congratulations. Well, yes, well done. All right. We'll keep wandering as people deep in discussion down the end of the table here. All right. We've got plenty more where those came from anyway, those questions.
Hey, when are we going to give away the good stuff, Dr. Ron?
We'll get to that. This is the warm-up round. These are the easy ones.
This is good stuff. These are high-quality Netcom.
High-quality Netcom. Yep. And we have Netcom to thank for sponsoring our 2010 Outside
Thanks
Broadcast.
Thanks to Steph at Netcom. She's given us a great wireless 3G router there, which is going to be keeping someone's caravan in broadband very shortly.
Yeah, that's for later on in the show.
Yeah, that's the door prize. If you make sure you got your tickets and you've given everyone the... Yeah.
That's the one. Who am I talking to here?
James.
James, how are you tonight, James? Thanks for coming to the Tech Talk Radio broadcast. You enjoying yourself?
Yep.
Excellent. You were a bit of a computer nerd?
Yes.
Bit of a gamer?
Yep.
Mac or PC?
Definitely.
Mac. Oh, there you go. I didn't have to answer a question.
Dr. Ron, watch out. You're in the way of the people.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you a Mac or a PC?
Both, I suppose.
Both? Wasn't expecting that. Yes. All right, we're talking now to Jason. If you don't get this, I'll beat you over the head with my pile of cards here.
The world's
in
trouble.
Yes. In computer parlance, for what is RAM an abbreviation? Received all memos? Shh, might be the right answer.
Sorry.
Read above me. Redress any monopolies or random access memory?
I'll lock in D, Eddie.
D is, in fact, correct. Well done, Jason. Very good. We're talking to...
How are you going, Dr. Ron? It's Elroy.
It's Elroy, who came in late. No, I'm not really. You didn't come in late. It's only joking. Tell me, who is, for a bag of jelly beans, who is the current CEO of Apple? Is it Steve Fielding? Steve Brax? Steve Wozniak? Or D, Steve Jobs?
Possibly should be C, but it is D.
Oh, good answer. Oh,
there's an interesting answer.
Very good answer. That you can get
two jelly beans.
Excellent. Very good. Good work. Next question. Who are we talking to? Who's a Star Wars fan here? Have we got any Star Wars fans? Some really, really good... good Star Wars fans. There's a hand went right up at the end of the table here. Hang on a minute.
I'm throwing jelly beans
now. Star Wars question, Lena. Star Wars question. You won't need the answers then.
Who shot first?
Who said famously, the city's central computer told you? The city's central computer told you? Was it A, Boba Fett? B, Han Solo? C, R2-D2? Or D, C-3PO?
Well, there's a trick question.
D is correct. It was
well
C-3PO.
Done, yes. Well played.
Excellent work. The city central computer told you, R2-D2, you know better than to trust a strange computer. Of course. Which website, who are we talking to now, who's munching on pizza here?
Yeah, Joseph.
Joseph, thanks for coming tonight. You enjoying yourself?
Yeah, so far.
Are you an Apple or a Mac?
Both.
You're both as well. You might just get jelly beans for that.
Dr. Ron, I think it's rigged.
I think it could be rigged.
I think it's rigged. Everyone's saying both.
Tell me,
they're sitting on the fence, Senator Coonan.
Senator, is that what it is? Tell me, Joseph, Senator Joseph, which website on the 28th of November this year began publishing over 250,000 leaked military communiques from the United States in a scandal? Are you involved? Oh, okay. Was it A, WikiWiki? B, Wikipedia? C, LickyLeaks? Or D, WikiLeaks?
WikiLeaks.
WikiLeaks have done extremely well. Very, very good. How are we going with our jelly babies and jelly beans and things, Lena? Oh, you've still got more. Who am I talking to now?
Dr. Ron, the kids up here helping themselves while you're not watching. Are you aware of this?
But they're not answering questions.
I know.
Crikey.
James.
James, thank you for coming tonight. Are you enjoying yourself?
Yes, I am, thank you.
Excellent. Are you an Android or an iPhone? Oh, there's a story there by the sounds of it.
None of the above is it except
I'm currently an iPhone, but I'm thinking about going an Android.
Love you. Yeah, I love your work.
No, good answer.
He needs two. Come on. Needs two. Oh, you've got Lena offside.
Lena's the Mac girl, and she's not giving away a bounty.
In terms of Mac or PC, I'm actually three-way. I'm Windows, Mac, and Linux.
I like the boy.
Sitting on the fence.
Tell me, for one more, for your fifth bag of Netcom jelly beans there, who said the internet, is that thing still around? Was it A, Fred Flintstone? B, George Jetson? C, Stan Smith? Or D, Homer Simpson? People at home can't see me doing that. People listening on the radio.
No, it's a visual medium, not.
The only person I know on that list is Homer Simpson.
Homer Simpson is correct. Congratulations. Very, very well done.
Dr. Ron, I'm watching the people answer these questions on the chat over there.
How are they doing in the chat?
They're answering the one that you asked about 20 seconds ago, so they're 30 seconds behind.
They're a little bit behind. That's okay. And we're talking to now...
Ming.
Ming, how are you tonight, Ming? Are you enjoying yourself?
Having a good time, yeah.
Excellent. Beats sitting at home listening to it on the wireless?
Yeah, it's a bit different.
Good on you, Ming. Can you
beer
answer...
Beer and pizza and tech, you can't go wrong.
You can't go wrong.
No.
You can't miss.
It's where it started. It's back at its roots.
Can you answer for me the following question for a bag of official Netcom jelly beans? Who in 1981 is purported to have said 640K ought to be enough for anybody? Was it A, Bill Lorry? B, Bill Henson? C, Bill Clinton? Or D, Bill Gates?
I'm going to guess, since most of the answers have been D, that it's D, Bill Gates.
I was wondering if anyone would pick up on that. You've done extremely well, man. Have yourself some Netcom jelly beans. Good work. Round of applause. All right, maybe the last one, Andrew, and then I'll return to the panel. Which funny-looking bloke? This funny-looking bloke. Bart, how are you enjoying the evening?
Yes, it's been very good.
Look, for the viewers at home, that's Bart. That's Lena's husband.
It is. And
are you going to grill him?
I think so. I think
absolutely.
We should. A hard one. All right. Hang on a minute. We'll go for a hard one. What is the Bart? What is the currency? The unit of currency in the online world, Second Life? Is it A, the US dollar? B, the Linden dollar, C, Microsoft points, or D, the Zork mid?
I happen to have a colleague who's very much into Second Life, and he would argue that it would be E, lollers, or Linden dollars.
Yes, all right, very good. It is Linden dollars. You've done well, Bart.
All right, Dr. Ron, thank you very much for that first round. We've got a big round coming up fairly shortly. We'll be giving away a lot more goodies and prizes and things like that. Maybe we should go down the other end of the restaurant end down there where those people are unsuspectedly eating their dinner and ask them a few questions.
I think we should. And the people that have missed out will be back.
Absolutely.
Yes, don't you worry about that. That was the warm-up round. That were the easy questions. So you we've got some hard ones coming up.
You are listening to Tech Talk Radio. This is our live outside broadcast from Sophia's Family Restaurant here in Burwood. In front of a live studio audience. We're going to take a break in just a minute, but if you are passing, we're here for the next hour before all of our booty goes away. There's still plenty of Smarties and jelly beans to go, all sorts of other things. We've got video games, office things, Netcom, Microsoft, fantastic sponsors. Thank you so much for giving these to us tonight to give away to our listeners. We'll be back with more after this.
Let's talk a little bit about what happened during the course of the week.
This is a new experience, agreeing with
Senator
Conroy.
It's hard, isn't it?
And
Julia.
The more they lock it down, the more people are working around it.
Is it?
I don't know.
I just tried to unlock Andrew's phone with my passcode.
If you're going
to
cross the road, look both ways.
Entertaining.
So no more pub runs.
No more pub runs. Informative.
Look, I agree with you, Graham.
Independent.
I can feel a churn coming on.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
I mentioned the word Optus, and I think you've thrown control.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show.
Tech Talk Radio. That you are. I think it's going reasonably well this evening so far. Thank you, everyone, for coming along to Sophia's Family Restaurant in Burwood. Well, I'll take this opportunity to thank a lot of the other radio stations that do take our show all around the countryside. Cairns FM have been taking us since day one, I think. 98.1 up there, working our way down the... Sorry, you should see these guys. They're dancing next to me.
This doesn't usually happen in Box Hill. No.
It's unusual.
It's not that kind of place.
Beer and pizza more often. This is what it's all about, isn't it? Working our way to... Ron, you're good with the call signs of the radio stations.
Yes.
GHR.
Yes, you've done well. 2GHR.
2GHR.
In Holbrook. And that's
it's the big black submarine is when you drive to Sydney.
That's the one. Trent's down from 2GHR representing that radio station. We've also got Catherine, 8KTR.
They're great. The cabbies in Catherine love us.
All the cabbies up there.
Yeah, they listen to us in the mid to dawn session. They run us, I think, non-stop up there in Catherine. Big in Catherine.
We're also on the radio in Napier in New Zealand.
Yes, Hawke's
New
Bay.
Zealand brethren.
Hello, New Zealand.
Yes.
So
far and wide we go.
Who we've forgotten? There's a few others.
I'll stand by.
Thanks, and bring it up.
Yeah.
All right. Once again, Tech Talk Radio live outside broadcast. This is the last show for 2010. And judging by the reaction, I think we might even come back and do a few more during the course of the year. The summer season will be on. And that'll be on Monday nights on live to air for those that do take us, and while we have a bit of a break across the course of summer. So once again, the chat's still going, emails are still going. Feel free to come and say g'day and contribute as you normally do over the break.
Hello to everyone listening on Gold 1611 in Weewar in New South Wales.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes,
and the guys in Brizzy on Switch.
Hello to everyone on Switch 1197 in Brisbane. Cairns FM.
Yeah, we did that.
Far North Queensland Community Radio. Magic FM was the station. Hawke's Bay Radio Network in Napier, New Zealand.
Very good.
8KTR, 2GHR, Stop and Go Radio. We've got shortwave listeners as well on VK2JJW. So, yeah,
and
everywhere.
And,
of course, everybody who listens on the stream and the podcast, we appreciate all those listeners.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. All right, so once again, we're at Sophia's. Come down if you're driving past. We've got probably about 50 minutes of show left to go for us this evening. And we'll just touch briefly on a few other things that have occurred during the week before Dr. Ron... you get out there and give away a few more things. I think you should go a bit further down the restaurant.
Yeah, and I've got some serious
questions.
There's
people down there standing there just looking up at us going, what's going on down there?
Come and say hello.
Yeah, see the people's leaning up against poles and things.
I'll give you jelly beans.
Oh, really? What about bacon?
I wish I had bacon to give away.
Now, Dr. Ron, you touched on the telecommunications industry ombudsman in the news this evening, seeing a sharp rise in money complaints, really for bill shock. Is that the case?
Well, that's right. The Ombudsman, Mr. Simon Cohen, says that the level of complaints received this year has actually dropped by about 5%. He said that the TIO was still receiving about 650 new complaints every day. He said while he was pleased to see that the number had dropped, he Inspector still felt that 650 complaints per day was
still
too high.
Who are they about? You've got to think that Telstra would be up there, and for no other reason that they have a fair market share. Obviously, the more customers you have, the potential, the more market, the more complaints you'll have.
That's right.
Purely because of volume.
He also said he was very pleased to see that the number of complaints about premium services had dropped significantly. The number of complaints this year had decreased more than 70%. And he said in part this was due to an improved industry code.
There was a big crackdown on that. That's why.
So that's the sort of thing we've got. Like, Graham had this very problem.
He
got
you?
Signed up on his phone account to some premium service.
I did.
And
yes.
How's that for service? Sorry,
don't
everyone.
Don't mention that right here.
Yeah, and the same happened to me as well.
Really?
I got a 3 mobile broadband stick and
this
the phone
just
number.
This is recycled phone numbers,
yeah, the phone number
a previous
recycled.
Owner had subscribed to a premium service.
So I was paying $70 a month for SMS messages that I wasn't even getting because I didn't have it in a phone.
And you couldn't unsubscribe to
them.
Well,
it wasn't until the bill turned up and then I rang through. You said, oh, we can't help you. Ring the providers. And really, I think it's their responsibility to deal with it. But rather than argue with them, I just rang the providers. And they're actually really good. They said, send us your contract to prove it's now your number and not their number, and we'll give you the money back. And they did. It was actually pretty well done.
Pretty painless. It shouldn't happen in the first place,
but
though.
It should be Three's responsibility, I think, to make sure that.
Well, you would think that they are the person who provides you the service in
they
the first
should
place.
Be part, I think they should be notifying the providers that the number has changed hands. But there's obviously some debate as to who is responsible for
what
that.
Was the issue that you had, Graham, with yours?
I had a different... Well, yeah, a bit different, though, because I've had my mobile phone number for years and years and years.
Oh, you have.
And this happened last year for the first time, and it happened again during the course of this year, where I started seeing on my bill 96 cents and 95 cents every day as a subscription to some sort of an online chat service, which I'd never heard of, never had any dealings with, don't use. And when I investigated, it turns out it was a chat room aimed at teenage girls to discuss fashion and footwear.
That's why you shouldn't let Ron borrow your phone.
Which is...
He pretends he wasn't subscribed.
Yeah.
Nice shoes, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
So
you managed to get out of it, though.
I did. I had some animated discussions with Telstra, to put it mildly.
Did you have to prove that you weren't a teenage girl?
did they do the first thing, so I'll meet you halfway, the standard fob-off answer?
Yes, they did do that. And
they never accepted that.
Did you lose
people?
Your angry at them?
I reacted very angrily to that suggestion.
So did I.
Yes, that was, you can't steal my money and then offer to give me half of it back and expect me to be happy. So, they did, however, they wouldn't take any responsibility, even though it's Telstra that are sending me the bill. They said, oh, it's nothing to do with us. It's a complete outside company. It's this AirG company, which turns out to be a Canada-based company. And they said, oh, it's nothing to do with us. And I said, but it is something to do with you, because you're sending me the bill. Oh, yeah, but we just send the bill. It's nothing to do with us. We can't tell you anything about it. And I said, well, show me where I subscribe to it. They couldn't. But, nonetheless. And they made me ring AirG, which is the support line for this Canadian company, and I had to give them my details to unsubscribe, which I thought was
is ridiculous. Now, did you have
ridiculous.
To escalate the problem to the ombudsman, or did you have it resolved before
no,
without
it didn't,
resorting to that?
It didn't quite make it to the ombudsman. It probably would have if it had gone on for another bill. It went on for three. It happened initially over about 3 bills last year, and then mysteriously just started again this year when I changed my plan. And they just started up coming through again, and again on about 3 bills this year. But yes, this latest bill, they've cleared it up. So, and I think they've refunded almost all of them. So, yes, I won't have to be forced to resort to the ombudsman.
If you're on the phone with your telco and you know you're in the right, and then you're not getting any joy, drop the O-bomb. Just mention the ombudsman, and straight away things will probably happen.
Good tip.
Because it's more trouble for them. Don't do it like as soon as they answer the phone. Mm. But if it looks like you're not getting anywhere. Because it's more hassle for them than it's worth. That's why they offer you the half off straight away, just to get rid of you. That's when you tell them to stick it, and that you, as you say, you're not going to steal from me and give me half back. Mention the drop the O-bomb. 10 seconds later, you'll be speaking to a supervisor, and you'll have it fixed, I reckon. And 9 times out of 10.
The other tip is to keep a log of when you've spoken to people, what the
this is the telco or this
were.
Is the
no the telco
yeah.
Yeah, when you ring the telco, you know, write down when you rang them, how long it took, how long you spoke to them for,
who you spoke to, if they
ask,
give you a name,
they'll give you their first name. Yeah. But you can always ask for, usually with Telstra you can ask for their employee number and they'll give you a T number.
Yeah.
Which will identify the correct person. And you can often ask which group they're a part of as well. So, and just keep notes of all of those things because they'll be really handy if it does end up going to the Ombudsman.
Mm-hmm. Very good. All right, in other news briefly before we move on, because we're going to run out of time on our last show. Qantas has been in the news for all the wrong reasons. Now they've got a security risk on their website. So if you've been buying tickets online on the Qantas website, which probably wouldn't be very many of people, I wouldn't have thought at the moment. But nonetheless, there's been a little bit of a script error that comes up, which is a hackable type sort of thing. So you've got to be careful about that if you're shopping online on Qantas. Which leads me to the next thing, the Anacora segue. McAfee, whoever you'd like to call them, recently, they were an antivirus.
How do you pronounce that name?
I think it's McAfee, but no one trusts my pronunciations anymore.
Why not?
Mr. Adobe.
Adobe. There are people here who will lynch you for that.
Yeah. I'm still waiting to hear the segue from Qantas to McAfee.
Okay, yeah. Well, we're talking about security online. McAfee warns of the 12 scams of Christmas.
The 12 scams of Christmas.
Absolutely. Yeah. And a partridge in a pear. That's the one. Mm. Anyway, if you're online this year and you're surfing around, just beware of the following. I think, Adam, I saw you rejigged this.
Yeah, I wrote about this because it was actually one of the few press releases that I get that was actually worth telling people
It was.
About.
I thought it was pretty good. Yeah. Beware of iPad scams. They're out at the moment. Apple products topping most shopping lists this holiday season. Scammers are busy distributing bogus offers for free iPads. So keep an eye out on that one. Watch out for the Help, I've Been Robbed scam. This is a travel scam which fraudulently distresses messages to families and friends requesting that money be wired or transferred so they can get home.
I've seen that one. I had one of those in my inbox. It was from a person that I would have just deleted the email anyway. I wouldn't have helped them.
From your wife or something?
No, no,
she's
no.
She's here tonight.
I would delete it. I recognised the name and I thought, I'm not going to send you money. Oh, it's a scam. I'm still not going to send you money.
All right, other things to keep a watch out for, fake gift cards. Cyber crooks are using social media to promote fake gift cards offered with the goal of stealing consumers' information and money, which is then sold to marketers for use for ID theft, the biggest issue that we have on the internet today. So watch out for fake gift cards. Holiday job offers, as if you haven't had enough already. People seek extra cash for gifts in the holiday season. Twitter scams offer dangerous links to high-paying work-at-home jobs that ask for your personal information, such as email and home addresses, to apply for the fake job. Now, we've spoken about this many times before. Don't give away your personal information online unless you thoroughly trust the source. And even then, be wary. Obviously, there's things called smishing. Have you heard of smishing, Adam? Says he looking at Adam.
I've never really heard of it before. There's so many variations on ishing these days.
There is. Cyber crooks are now smishing or sending phishing SMSs. Have you had one of those, Dr. Ron?
Smishing, no.
But I didn't know it was called smishing.
I've not been smished.
No, I think that's a made-up word to...
Probably
the
made
English
up
language,
by McAfee or one
yeah,
of the...
Yeah, the English language is made up by tech jargon
it's
these
made
days,
up and made-up words, yes.
It's the PR people who make up fancy words for this, like pod sloping.
It's a portmanteau is the correct term, when you mash two words together.
Fancy.
Thank you, Lena.
Well, that's good. Anyway, smishing one.
Professor Lena.
She can put in big words and all.
What's pod slurping?
Oh, I used to write about it when it was called stealing. It's basically
back in the days when it was called theft.
Yeah. Going to work with an iPod or any kind of USB device, plug it into your computer, copy sensitive data onto it, and then walk out of the building with it.
Where did they get pod slurping from?
Because it's got the word pod in it, so it sounds cool. So when you send it out in a press release, a journalist is more likely to read it and write about it.
Very good.
Oh. So you're carrying what seems to be an innocent MP3 player, but you're using it as a memory stick.
Yep.
Yep.
All right, so smishing. Smishing. Sorry, I'm still coming to terms with smishing.
All these terms derived from phishing, which is just phishing for information is the idea, trying to get information out of you.
Well, these texts appear to come from a bank or an online retailer saying that there's something wrong with an account and that you have to call a number to verify the account information. In reality, these efforts are merely a ruse to extract valuable personal information from targets. Now, I remember a while back we talked about it on the radio. I got a phone call from a bank while I was walking through one of the big hardware chains, and they said, I would like to talk to you about your credit card and we can do better for you and all that. I said, no, you rang me. I'm not giving you any personal information. So they do that, and chances are that was a scam. So you just got to be wary of that. Other things to be look out for, suspicious holiday rentals. If you're travelling during peak times when consumers often look online for affordable holiday rentals, cyber crooks post fake holiday rental sites that ask for a down payment on properties by credit card before you do, rather than a bank transfer, before you go on your holiday. So stick with your reputables. There's a GFC Scams Continues, which is the scammer's target for valuable consumers with GFC, Global Financial Crisis, related scams such as pay in advance credit schemes. All this is still going on. Grinch-like greetings, e-cards. Oh, I don't get any e-cards.
This has been around for a long time. I wouldn't even open an e-card for my own wife. Sorry, love, but Jesus. I just don't trust them from anybody. Awesome. I'd never e-cards. Open these e-card things.
Yeah, no, buy a real paper card. They're much better, and yes.
Yeah.
E-cards are a convenient, earth-friendly way of sending greetings to friends and families, but instead of Christmas cheer, obviously, there's nasty things like viruses and
you click
bots
on it and you get
like
something
that.
Really nasty. Yeah.
So these are the 12 scams of Christmas.
They are.
What are we up to now?
Up to number nine.
Number nine.
Low-price traps. Shoppers should be cautious of products offered at prices far below competitors. Cyber scams use auction sites and fake websites to offer too-good-to-be-true deals with the goal of stealing your money for information.
Right.
Same sort of thing again. Charity scams. The holidays have been historically a prime time for charity scams since it's traditional time for giving. So watch out for those. Number 11, dangerous holiday downloads. This is one for the kids too, isn't it? Mm. Holiday-themed screensavers, jingles and animations are easy ways for scammers to spread viruses and other computer threats, especially when links come from email or instant messaging that appear to be from a friend. And finally, if you're in travelling, if you're sitting in airports, hotel and airport Wi-Fi. During these holiday periods, many people travel and use the free Wi-Fi in places like hotels and airports. And this is tempting for thieves to hack into networks, hoping to find an opportunity because you're on their side of the firewall. Yeah. And that really is the 12 wonderful little risks you've got to keep an eye out for.
Yeah, and remember, because things like email were designed 20 or 30 years ago, all of your usernames and passwords are sent in plain text. So if you connect to one of those hotspots that Andrew was describing, very easy for people just to monitor the traffic that's happening on that hotspot.
There's a Firefox plugin now that lets you sit on a wireless network and anyone else who's connected to that network, you can log in as their Facebook account. If someone else is logged into Facebook, you can borrow their cookie and log in as them.
Borrow a cookie.
That's another scam. What I was going to say was about email being such an old protocol with no security on it. It's trivially easy to send an email that appears to come from somewhere else, even that appears to come from within your own organisation, even though it's come from outside. So, you just cannot trust anything in an email ever, and that's why, you just can't trust e-cards. Anything in an email, just can't trust.
All right, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio. This is our live outside broadcast, our last show for 2010. We'll be back, I think, in February next year. If you're lucky.
Well, we're counting Valentine's Day, weren't we?
Yeah, but Valentine's Day is a great day because they'll miss us by then and they'll want it.
Yeah, big kiss.
Absolutely. So we're looking to do that.
You almost did it again.
Almost.
Yes.
But then I thought twice.
All right. 2010 has been a very interesting year in a lot of respects. I guess politically we had a change of government. They sat on the fence and they won by the hair of their chinny chin chin. But from a technical point of view, iPads were really big this year and gadgets. Probably the biggest gadget of 2010.
The biggest gadget that nobody knew what to do with, yes.
Yeah, well, that was really Apple's great thing. Build it and they'll buy it.
The
and
biggest
they certainly
solution
did,
looking
they?
For a problem.
Yeah, well, yeah. And there's a new one coming out, surely, too, isn't there? So the rumors
it depends who you believe. They're talking about a 7-inch iPad maybe early next year. Well, they're even talking about an iPhone 5 early next year, but that would surprise me because the iPhones tend to stick to the 12-month cycle.
So. And as some of the current blog sites talk about the white iPhone 4 hasn't even arrived yet. So.
Well, who cares? Get over it, people.
You can HTC.
A white iPhone. Oh, sorry.
Digital television, another interesting thing this year. Obviously, we started seeing the turn off of digital TV in some rural areas around Australia. Yeah. Victoria,
Mildura.
I think, has gone. Oh, well, South Australia definitely has. Victoria, I think, is if it hasn't, it's nearly
Mildura,
about to go.
No, Mildura was first, then the surrounding region, because that had one of the highest penetrations of digital set-top boxes already. Because Channel 10 is only available on digital TV up there. So a lot of people already had a digital set-top box because it's
a good reason. Is that why
it
went first,
I'm pretty sure that's why it went first.
Okay.
Yeah. Then it was, I think, parts of regional South Australia might be going about now, I think the end of this year.
I think South Australia was first to go, wasn't it?
No, Mildura was first to go.
Was it?
Because it had the highest penetration already, so they used that as like the test area. And then over the next couple of years, you've got regional Victoria, regional South Australia. The very last areas to go will be the big metros like Melbourne and Sydney, and they will be gone by Christmas 2013, I think. But I think regional Victoria might be 2011 off the top of my head.
I'm just doing a quick check here online.
Yeah, I've written about it, but I can't remember off the top of my head.
Victoria will be going off air between the 1st of January and the 30th of June.
But that's not all of Victoria.
No, that's Gippsland, northern central Victoria, southwest Victoria. And then Queensland, you're going to cop it very shortly too, between the second half of this year. It looks like a lot of northern Queensland's going to go off air, so they'll be going to digital only very shortly. Look, one of the great things about digital TV is apparently it's pretty crisp and sharp, but look, the HD TV channels are disappearing thick and fast at the moment.
Don't even start me. How long have we got?
Yeah, well, yes, we've got another 10
Can I have my own show, please? The president of the network's over here. Yeah. Can I have my own show, please? Just to complain about the high definition. The cricket's not even on in high definition. Yeah, okay, you can pay me. That's all right.
That is very frustrating.
The cricket's not even on in high definition. I put the cricket on the other day. It's not the first test of the Ashes. You go over to Gem and I'm watching The View. Now, I don't want to see Whoopi Goldberg in high definition. I want to see the Australian cricket.
You don't want to
team.
See her any other way, I'm going to tell you.
This is true. But I don't want to see them in high definition. I want to watch the cricket in high definition. I spent money on a big TV with the digital tuners. I did the right thing. I was the early adopter. And then I get screwed. And cricket really looks a lot better. Sport is what really is worth. Cricket and football. You switch between the stand. If you've got a television that's bigger than, we'll say, about 40 inches, flick between the standard and the high def, and you can really see the difference. Watch high definition cricket for 5 minutes, then flick back to the standard def channel and see how long you last. It is horrible. So I'm really cross, especially as someone who works at home, so could technically sit there and watch the cricket all day if you didn't feel like getting paid. It's not in high definition. It's just ridiculous.
It's very frustrating. And even as a content creator, I've said on numerous occasions that, you know, I was watching Luke Nguyen's Vietnam the other night. Fantastic in high def because it came out of some of our edit suites.
Yeah.
And yet you see it on 720, which is even, it looks just like standard def. And you go, wow.
See, I get cross when I write a story for an editor and then they put four mistakes in it, make a total botch job of it. That's the same feeling you must get when you make something beautiful and then watch someone
destroy
it.
It leaves us as pristine. Yeah, and by the time it comes out the ringer at the other end, you go, why did we bother?
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, that's life, really.
Damo, the geek in our chat room, is looking forward to a new program next year called View from the Soapbox, Adam.
/ rant.
Yeah, it's going to be in high definition, too. Absolutely.
This is come on, cut loose. Come on, Adam.
I know this guy who makes video. We're going to get it all away.
Yeah, it'll be there. Yeah, no, the chat, thanks to all those who have joined us in the chat over the course of the year. That's also been really a lot of fun as part of the show. Gives us an opportunity to interact because we don't do talk back, do we? We don't want to do talk back. It's
I do talk back on dangerous. 3AW and it scares me.
I know, we're going to ring you up. We've decided we're going to, when you least expect it.
Yeah, I'm waiting for just the horror question. I don't know.
It's very different. Talk back is for tech questions. You always feel sorry for them when you hear those questions come in that, There's just no answer for you. Know,
there's no answer in 30 seconds.
That's right. Yeah, I started Outlook and it won't open an email from a Mac user. To pick a random example.
No,
I fixed that.
Did you? What was it?
A software patch.
Okay.
Thanks, Microsoft.
For one of your add-ins. Oh, no, for Outlook itself.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we got as far as working that it worked in safe mode.
Ah, yes, we did. But we won't bore our listeners with that.
Imagine trying to do that on 3AW in the space of 30
seconds. Exactly. You can't. We're not even going to do it on a tech show.
Yeah.
One thing I do want to mention, too, is last week I said to JD, I want to move my iPhone from one system to another, and I don't want to actually first birthday it and lose everything and have to re-jailbreak and all that. Now, JD gave me a tip. He said, just copy everything out of the iTunes folder, your music folder. I'm speaking PC here, from one machine to the other machine.
It'll work on a Mac as well. I think
it will work on a Mac. Yeah. And it worked on the PC beautifully, so yeah. I didn't lose anything, and all 400,000 songs and my apps and absolutely everything just went across. So thanks, JD. That was good. I learned something on the show. That was really good. But as for the Microsoft bizarre, we'll wait and see what happens.
Well, it always works if it's an Apple product, doesn't it?
Here we go.
And you
come
went,
to that time of the evening, has it?
You have to go for a walk, speaking of that time of the evening.
I do. Do you want to do that now or do you want to have a break?
Yeah, off you go. No, we're not going to have a break.
Play on regardless.
10 minutes somewhere on a tight live outside broadcast here. There's people wanting to get in after us, so we can't do anything. Dr. Ron,
there's another show in the restaurant?
No, they've got to go on the air after. We can continue on, but they'll probably kick us out. But anyway, Dr. Ron's going out there. We're going to give away some serious prizes. Now, once again, thank you very much to Netcom Australia. They gave us a wireless hotspot to give away. It's a lucky door prize. Here comes the ice cream, by the way. I can say that on the radio. Couldn't say the other things that were arriving. But, we've got a lovely hotspot, which is the door prize. We've also got Microsoft Office there, which Michael Cordy, who was on the radio last week, the week before, I think it was, Graham, wasn't it? He was very kind. He's a Microsoft evangelist, and he has a podcast called Frankly Speaking.
Right.
And we'll talk to Michael Cordai probably a little bit more next year. But he was orchestrated the office copy, which we'll give to someone here. So if people looking to get a great
where's it got
new,
to?
Oop. I don't know, but it's over there. Someone nicked it already.
I'm knocking the prizes
Graham's
over.
Knocked
no,
over
here it
the
is.
Tower oh, of prizes.
And we've got video games and stuff like that. Thanks to Lena managed to organise all that through 2K Games. I don't have my sheet in front of me.
No, that's right. 2K Games. Fantastic.
We've got a great collection of things over there. So all we need is a couple of consoles now to go with that, Mr. Sony and Mr. Wii and all those sort of people. But anyway, Dr. Ron, you're going to go and hit people for some hard questions now.
Yes, I am. Thank you very much to 2K Games for donating all of the prizes that we're going to be giving away tonight. So if we've got people who are avid gamers, and I'm sure that there are people here tonight who are avid gamers, what have we got a copy of Bioshock there, Lena? Copy of Bioshock. And what platform is that for? For the PlayStation 3. So we do have a I lied before. There were some PlayStation people somewhere, I think, who were... Yes, there we go. There's one here too, yes. How many PS3 games have we got, Lena? How many PlayStation games do we have, Lena? Okay. Well, I'll start asking questions anyway.
I might just add, you know how last week, too, I said my PlayStation 3 was geo-blocking me from iView?
Yes, yes.
It fixed itself as well. I don't know what happened, but it works again now.
Okay. Okay.
So Lena said that was because you bought an American one.
Can you play Australian DVDs in it?
No, not DVDs, but Blu-rays.
Australian Blu-rays, you can.
Yeah, I can play any Blu-ray in it, but I can't play a DVD. In it.
That's weird.
That is very weird.
All right.
Ah, it's American. What would you expect?
But I knew that.
It's American in the Australian market.
We've got a game here for the PlayStation 3, Mafia 2. Interested in a copy of Mafia 2, Jason?
Sounds lovely.
Yep. All right.
Great kids game.
Answer me. Is it? This is where we need the rating. This is where we need the rating system sorted out, don't we?
Four out of five bullets.
Jason, for a copy of Mafia 2 for the PlayStation 3, can you answer me this? And all the answers aren't going to be D this time, just to... Yes, someone... yes, I think Meng realised that before. Yeah, so I've mixed them up a bit now.
Watch out for that light up behind you, Dr. Ron.
Okay.
I don't mean the lady walking behind you, I mean the blue top.
Yes, thank you.
that one, yeah.
This lady here. How are you tonight, Linda? Linda hates microphones.
Very well, thank you, Ron.
Oh, you finally got her to speak. My goodness.
Andrew's been trying to do that.
Mrs. Andrew, ladies and gentlemen.
Andrew. Yes, round of applause for Mrs. Andrew. Yes, one of the women behind, the men behind Tech Talk Radio. Yes, very good. We've embarrassed her suitably now. All together, do you think?
Blushing.
Jason, all together. We've got a copy of Mafia 2 for the PS3. We've got a Mafia 2 keyring, and we've got Mafia 2 cufflinks.
Ooh.
You happy with that?
That's awesome.
All right, answer me this question. No hints and no pressure. What does the letter P, in HSDPA stand for?
That's a tricky one.
Is it professional? Is it pass-through? Is it packet? Or is it PICO? HSDPA.
Where do you think music, Graham? You should have brought your TikTok.
I wish I'd thought of it, yeah.
No, I know, I was thinking he was going to do this.
The choices are professional. I'm showing him the choices.
With the professional answer circled by any chance?
Just put your thumb over the answer.
Not at all.
There
is no circling on these cards. No. Pass through, packets or PICO?
I think I'll be going with packet on that one.
So you're not going with option D?
No, option C on this one.
Option C, packet is correct, Jason.
Well,
you've won yourself a copy Mafia 2 for the PS3.
Played.
Matching cufflinks and keyring. Congratulations.
And thank you, 2K Games and Tech Talk Radio.
Thank you very much. What have we got next, Lena? The PS3 one? You get your PS3 ones, because there were PS3 people down here, and they were asking me before if we had any PS3 games. And I said, I don't know, but we do. So we're talking now to...
Andrew.
Andrew, thanks
Lena's
for coming on tonight.
Loading yourself up with Mafia merchandise.
Or more Mafia merchandise.
Mafia 2, is it? Yes.
So on your bike, son, 5 minutes. Come on, tick, tick, tick.
Tick, 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 tick. Oh, next question. Next serious question.
Oh, okay.
Tell me, what does the A stand for? This is tricky. What does the A stand for in ADSL? Is it asymmetric? Is it asynchronous? Is it anti? Or is it anonymous? Why are you laughing, Andrew? I'll ask you some questions a bit later.
I want the last one. I want the anonymous digital subscriber line.
Well, Graham's killed one of the answers. There we go. There they are again. Asymmetric, asynchronous, anti, or anonymous? The A in ADSL. What do you reckon?
We might go for A.
Asymmetric. Asymmetric digital subscriber line is correct. There we go.
Very good.
Congratulations. I don't know what you'll be doing tonight after the show. You'll be rushing home, loading up Mafia.
Might give it a go. Get with the kids, yeah, load it up.
It's a friendly kids game. Inappropriate MA15 plus racing. Anybody else interested in some PS3 games? PS3?
Georgie.
What is that, M15 plus? You can't have
that. Oh, Bioshock. Bioshock.
Yeah. Bioshock's pretty much the same, I think.
Oh, okay, good.
Is that for the PS3, Lena? It is.
Yes, it is.
All right. What about Zio here? She's you've got a PS3, don't you? You've got Bioshock.
Is it good? It's fantastic, she said.
Zio, give us a quick rundown. Bioshock. No, not Bioshock. Yeah, Bioshock.
That's great.
Good for kids. Good friendly kids game. Good family game.
Probably not so much for family. So this is why Lena does the reviews and I don't.
Okay. I'll take a hint. Okay. Oh, got some more Mafia 2 keyrings here. All right, anyone, PS3 games? Anyone else? Mad PS3? Really? Yes? All right, we'll move around the table here. Elroy tells me that the lady sitting to his left... The good lady Barb. Is that right, Barb? You're interested in the copy of Bioshock?
Hello.
Hello. Have you enjoyed yourself this evening?
Very much.
All right, I've got a techie question for you. Now, you can consult with Elroy if you need to. All right, okay. For a copy of Bioshock for the PS3, in America, a telephone exchange is called what? Is it A, a central office, B, a central router, C, an open office, or D, an open router? I'll show you the selection of answers.
That's a tricky question, Dr. Ryan.
It is a tricky question.
It'll work
Elroy
for a game,
says he has no idea. You'll notice that there is nothing circled there.
Google it.
Google it. There are no arrows. There are no marks on this card whatsoever. But do you have an idea?
I'll have to go with A.
A central office?
I think so.
Barb, you've done extremely well. Congratulations. You want a copy of Bioshock for the PS3. Yeah.
Excellent. How many more you got there, Dr. Ron?
All right, we've got a PS3, one more, Mafia 2, and Georgie. Georgie wanted...
She wants to have a go, does she?
She's busting out of her skin here.
Make sure she puts the cheat sheet away.
I will. Mafia 2? Mafia 2 for Georgie, really?
No.
Something else.
Forget
something
about
else for
it.
Georgie. What about... You give it to Dad, will you? Give it to Dad?
All right.
Christmas present. It's a real grown-up technical question, Georgie. All right, how old are you?
I'm 8.
And you've done some voiceovers for TikTok Radio in the past, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
So you've done a very good job too, I might add. Tell me then, for your own copy of Mafia 2, an 8-year-old's version of Mafia 2, the PS3, which is going to go straight to Dad, who's sitting in the centre of the panel here, what programming language was invented by Sun Microsystems' Green Team, introduced into the world in 1996? Was it A, PHP, B, Java, C, HTML, or D, ASP?
Java.
Well done. You've won yourself a Bioshock. Yay! Good work, Georgie.
With no help from anybody in the world.
With no help whatsoever.
All right, we're going to come back after this. We're going to give away some big prizes. We've got the door prize coming up, Graham, over to you. We'll be back with more in a moment.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show.
Tech Talk Radio.
In this house, we obey the laws of thermodynamics.
Tech Talk Radio's Gadget of the Week.
Gadget of the Week. This is actually Gadget of the Year. Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. This is Dr. Ron. We've got the entire panel here. Justin, Adam, Andrew, Lena, Graham and myself. And we're broadcasting live from...
This is it, the last segment for the year.
The last one. The last segment for
Give
the
it
year.
Away. Give it away, boy.
The gadget is... The Netcom MyZone 3G wireless router fits to your dynamic lifestyle, says Netcom, and allows you to go online wherever you are. Connect your devices to the internet via 3G mobile broadband.
What that means is you go and buy your SIM card from the carrier of your choice, stick it in this device, turn it on and share mobile broadband to all your things, phones, laptop, PDAs, the works.
It combines a 3G modem router, wireless hotspot and rechargeable battery, as Andrew said. Powerful, credit card size, fits into your pocket.
Lena, go and give one away, quick.
I think we should. We all have our tickets ready and we'll draw a door prize. And
absolutely.
We'll away the gadget of the year, the Netcom MyZone 3G wireless router.
Here we go. Dr. Ron is going to saddle up with all of his gear again. Lena has the little white box, the barrel girl. She's you got to go and draw a ticket. We're going to get someone from the audience to draw a ticket, whoever's out there, I guess. Or come on, Dr. Ron, hurry up, quick. No, I'm not going to draw it.
You can't hear me unless I'm talking to a microphone, can you?
Yes, exactly. So who's going to win this device? It's over there on the table there.
All right. Over there on the table. Here it is. Where are we?
Yes, good.
We'll hold it up for everyone to see.
Thanks to Steph at Netcom for this one.
Thank you very much, Steph at Netcom, proud sponsor of Tech Talk Radio.
Stick your hand in the box or something like that and pull out a number. And the winner is... This is working well for radio. Dr. Ryan has his hand in the box. He's hoping... Hey, how long does it take to pull out a piece of paper? There we go.
The winner is... E38, number 38, 38. Oh, there we go. We have a winner. Come on up, sir. Come on up.
E38 has just won himself a lovely... wireless router.
No, actually, it's... am I joking? Come on.
Worth $299 recommended retail. Thank you, Steph, at Netcom for this little guy.
You need to give me a 38, and I will give you a Netcom router. Look at that. Let's get a couple of photographs here. There we go.
Yeah, we'll put these up on the website for everyone.
Good work. We'll put these on the website.
Very good.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. And do the photo. That'd be good. We need the photo.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And your name is?
Gary.
And what are we going to do with that, Gary?
I'm not sure yet. I've just signed up with Telstra. And I'm getting a wireless modem tomorrow. So
excellent. It's coming at just the right time.
Yeah, there's two of them together.
Good on you, Gary. Well done.
Well done, Gary.
We're also going to draw one more prize, and this is thanks to Microsoft and the blog, Andrew.
Frankly speaking, Michael Cordai.
Michael Cordai's blog,
talks
Frankly
about
speaking.
Microsoft
Michael
Cordai stuff, from Kinect and all those sort of good things. Silverlight. Okay. Who's going to take the office home, so to speak?
Who is taking the office home? The person taking the office home is E number 909. Where is 09?
Oh, no, number have they nine. Gone home
looking,
early?
Looking,
oh, here we go.
Have they gone home early?
No, it's Chuck.
Is it you? It's Cherie. Congratulations. Very good, Cherie.
Well done.
Come on up here. Come up here with Chuck. There you go. What the hell do you do with that, she asks. If you give it to your husband, he'll know exactly.
He'll know what to do.
Or he'll ask you.
He might ask me as well. It's very, very good. And you'll have to ask him what he's going to do with it. I don't know if he's got Office 2010. I don't think you have. No, good.
Just do a clean install.
Thank you, Dr.
Watch
Ron.
Out for the upgrade there. Yes.
So that's the latest version of Microsoft Office with Word and Excel and all that sort of stuff. So
you're very welcome. Do you want to do some other...
Once again, thank you, Microsoft. Thank you to everybody, all of our supporters, I guess, really, Netcom, and Michael Cordai for those great prizes. Righto, I think that's it. We're moving on to the next one, Graham.
Here it is, everybody. The world's greatest website.
Tech Talk Radio website of the week.
And here we go again with Dr. Ron. He loves doing all these sort of things. It's the last website of the year.
It is. It's the last website of the year. This one I've selected is Mediafly.com. Mediafly.
Here we go. Everyone normally jumps on the laptops.
Everyone usually jumps on the laptops there. Tap. Quick, look it up. Mediafly Network is your source for personalised podcasts, news, sports, comedy, pop culture, technology, and more delivered to your PC or mobile device. This is a great service. It integrates with your desktop computer and with your mobile device and your digital living room. So, Adam, you'll like this one. You create a free account. You can add publicly available RSS feeds, like arbitrarily techtalkradio.com.au/ttr.xml, and you listen to or view your favourite programs online. You can even control Mediafly-supported devices and queue up programs ready to watch. Devices like the iPad, the iPhone, Android-powered handsets, Western Digital's WDTV Live, Logitech squeeze boxes, Chumbies, Popcorn Hours, the list goes on. All these devices
are
supported.
You talking about?
You can control all these from Mediafly, and you can send media to your device.
Popcorn, that stuff that ends up on the kitchen floor, isn't it?
Popcorn Hour. Who had a Popcorn Hour?
Popcorn Hour is a really early version. Yeah.
What's a Chumby?
What's a Chumby?
Yeah. It's an alarm clock on steroids.
It's a fancy media player, streaming, web-based radio, all that sort of stuff. All built into the same thing.
Right.
All right, so that's our website.
That's our website,
Mediafly.
Andrew. www.mediafly.com.
Excellent.
Thank you.
There is a fine line between genius and madness.
Missed it by that much. I know nothing. Nothing.
Don't ask! For God's sakes, don't ask!
Houston, we have a problem.
The Odd Spot on Tech Talk Radio.
Are there any single ladies in the audience? We've got a couple there that put their hands up. A northern Indian village has banned unmarried women from using mobile telephones. A local official on Wednesday last week said the Lank Village Council is afraid that unmarried women will arrange forbidden marriages. The council determined that unmarried boys could use mobile phones, but only under parental supervision. Local women's rights groups criticised the measure as backward and unfair. Forbidden marriages are often punished by death, including so-called
Honor Killings. And on that cheery note, Andrew, that's a final...
That is Tech Talk Radio.
The ultimate odd spot.
I don't know where that
was
the right one to go out. Anyway, don't you? Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for coming up this evening. Lydia Davis, are you still there? You stayed up till 3 o'clock in the morning Pacific time in the United States?
I did, and I'm very homesick now listening to you all.
Hey, thank you so much for all your time, effort and reports from Silicon Valley over the past 6 years, would you believe? Hopefully you'll be hanging in there again for a seventh year and we can come and play in Silicon Valley and get in and see Zook at Facebook and all those sort of things again very shortly. Because
Liv does a lot behind the scenes.
We were over there in April. It was good fun. Went up to Google, had a chat to the guys up there. It was all really good. So once again, look forward to getting some of yours again, your reports, that is, next year.
Do you think you could do the broadcast from here next year?
Why not?
That'd be really neat.
Yeah, we could. Yeah. It's just getting up at 3 a.m. is a killer, isn't it? You know, you should know that. Anyway, you can go to bed now. Thank you so much for sharing your skills and all those good things from Silicon Valley with us this year. And,
I think Lee wants us to go over there and do the OB from Silicon Valley.
Yeah, I don't want to get up at 3 a.m.
Right.
Yes.
Well, I'm saying Merry Christmas to everyone and
thank
good night.
You. Yes. It's, yay. Thank you so much. It's been good. All right. Also, before we go, thank you to everyone who's been a part of the show. Thank you to the families in particular. They put up with a fair bit of stuff of us running away and hiding during the course of the year. It's been great. Thank you to 3WBC. They provide a fantastic facility, great station in Melbourne, probably the predominant community radio station in Melbourne, I personally believe. They do a lot for us and allow us to use their great facilities each and every week. Thank you to all the stations that take us. We named you earlier on the people. You know who you are. Thanks to all the taxi drivers in Catherine. I think they play a major role in this show as well.
They do.
Which has been terrific. I've probably forgotten a lot of things. Thanks to Adam. Adam comes in. He comes from all the way over there to all the way over here on the odd occasion. And when he doesn't, he files a report each week, which is just fantastic. We get a lot out of those. So thank you very much. Thanks, JD. His information and resourcefulness when it comes to Mac is second to none. Well, maybe second to Lena's, or Lena's second to JD's, or someone's second
to someone.
I'm
fourth to you.
There you go. Graham, I've got to mention all the podcasts during the year. Fantastic stuff. Thank you so much. They sound terrific. You do re-engineer them each and every time and try and make it sound even better than it normally does. So.
Every podcast you listen to, Graham spends hours and hours doing on Monday night after the program. So 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m., he's churning stuff out for radio stations that rebroadcast the program on Tuesdays. So
it's a big job. And then we do the website, make sure it's all up to date. It's a big job.
It's always fun to get it sounding nice. I like to get it sounding nice.
He has to cut out all Ron's dirty jokes. That's what takes it so long.
Some of the odd spots, really, which is just absolutely scary. So,
all my sound effects.
Yes. Mm. Anyway, and thanks to Lena. Lena's, as I say, she's just recently joined the panel and providing some great stuff in respect to gaming. We've lacked in recent times, but I think we've found the niche now. So, hopefully next year we'll take it to another level, which will be just fantastic. So, once again, thanks to our listeners, and they're all here tonight. All four of you, actually 40, however many of you.
What about this one?
I'm coming to that.
Oh, okay.
So they're all saying, what about Dr. Ron? I'm coming to that. But thank you to all of our listeners, everyone who's come along here and had a beer and pizza with us tonight at Sophia's. Thanks to Sophia's for putting up with us.
Yay.
They put all the tables down the end there, which has been fantastic. And finally, before we sign off this evening and all that sort of stuff, Dr. Ron, thank you so much for putting... He does the news each and every week, shamelessly, fearlessly, and sometimes even fronts up for the odd
occasion. Episode here and there.
Yeah, here and there, which has just been terrific. So, thank you so much for all your efforts over the course of the year. And I think hopefully everyone gets a lot out of it because I think the news is really good. It's a great way to catch up with what's going on tech-wise.
I think a big round of applause for our host each and every week, Andrew McComb. He does an excellent job.
Yeah.
And I'll just say this to my wife. See, it's worth it, see, isn't it? You even clapped.
Now, Andrew mentioned the work that goes into the podcast every week after the show. That's nothing compared to the pre-production work that Andrew spends his whole weekend doing.
No, don't. Shh. Before. Graham, stop now.
His wife's nodding.
Before the Monday night broadcast.
Do you need a microphone, Linda? Andrew, Andrew's wife would just like to say a few words. No.
He really does put a lot of work into getting everything ready for us on Monday, and he's always got the tracks there and the rundown done for us, and we just have to rock in and talk about the cool stuff. So, all that work of Andrew's is wonderful.
It's going to be interesting to see what sort of cool stuff comes out next year too. I think there'll be a lot of new gadgets and new things come out. So I'm sure it'll be an interesting year next year. After the show, those who are here, more than welcome to hang around. We'll have a beer with you all while we try and pack up a little bit and get
prizes.
Out of these guys.
We might draw some more tickets.
There's a fire in the kitchen over there. Sorry, I'm just seeing flames licking up behind us.
It's a special dish. It's okay. Nobody planning.
A flambé is coming out. So I guess that's Tech Talk Radio for 2010. What are year it's been. There's certainly been some challenges. Thank you to our sponsors this evening too, which has also been really good. That's Microsoft Australia have been terrific. Thanks to Netcom Australia. Thanks for two games. Also, thanks to our guests. We've had a lot of guests come in during the course of the year and tell us about the things that they've built and made and trying to get. Windows 7, the guys are trying to get the... Sorry, Phone 7, trying to get the phone up and running. That's going to be an uphill challenge. We'll probably hear a lot more of that next year. So I guess until the same time, come Valentine's Day on February the 14th, 2011...
Do the noise. Do the noise.
See who needs a Foley artist when we've got...
We have our own...
We have our own Foley
yes,
girl here.
In situ Foley artist.
All right. Yep. So, yeah, until next year, I think it's time to say bye for now. And Merry Christmas, everybody. Have a safe and happy holiday. And hopefully we'll talk to you all next year.
You've been listening to Tech Talk Radio, brought to you each and every week by a group of dedicated professionals from within the media, broadcasting, IT and telecommunications industries. The team consists of executive producer Andrew McComb, producer Dr. Ron, panellists Graham Callaghan, Justin Dunlop and Lena Van Deventer. Expert opinion by Adam Turner, and our US correspondent is Lydia Davis. Post-production facilities courtesy of Evolving Communications. Podcast production by Graham Callaghan. Tech Talk Radio is broadcast, recorded and streamed live to the world each and every Monday night from 8 p.m. in the studios of 3WBC in Melbourne. The crew wish to thank all the stations around Australia and around the world that rebroadcast the show. Thanks also to Netcom Australia, Microsoft Australia and 2K Games for their support for our end-of-year bash. Thanks also to Sophia Family Restaurants in East Burwood for allowing us to bring Tech Talk Radio back to where it started over a beer and pizza. Tech Talk Radio is also available for syndication on your local station. For sponsorship and advertising, call 03 8682 9099 or visit the website techtalkradio.com.au for more information. Thanks also to you, our listeners and supporters throughout 2010. Have a happy and safe break this holiday season, and if you're good, we'll come back and do it all again in 2011. Until then, stay tuned to the summer series of Tech Talk Radio. Be sure to sign up for our newsletter and follow the panellists on Twitter and Facebook for news over the festive season. This has been a production of Tech Talk Radio Victoria and is subject to copyright and applicable laws and may not be rebroadcast without approval. Until 2011, have a happy and safe new year, everyone.